Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend, Frank Rush here. It's another Focus on Community. It's good to have you along today as we talk about things that affect everybody in the community. And one of the things that affects everybody in the community is your electricity, your power. Rick Berger from Duke Energy is with us today. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Frank. Thanks for having me in here this morning.
Rick gets his paycheck paid for by Duke Energy, but he serves on practically any board that's available for him to be on in the Wabash Valley. Yeah. I mean, how many boards, organizations are you involved with?
Several, let's just say that.
You lost count, didn't you?
No, I didn't lose count. No, I just enjoy giving back. I do.
Well, yeah, but it's work.
Yeah, it's work. It is.
It's busy days, long nights.
Yeah.
I'm not really asking people to feel sorry for you, but they do start early in the day, and they don't end until late in the evening sometimes. So
you understand that, right? That's right, Frank.
So anyway, so let's face it. It's cold. It's winter. My light bill's high. And I'm mad at you because my light bill's high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're hearing in a lot of places nowadays. And folks need to understand that there's a lot of things that go into figuring it. I'm not necessarily defending you, but people should understand there's a lot that goes into their light bill, including how they use what they've got.
Yeah, you know, and I respect people's opinions out there. Yes, there are a lot of higher bills, but I think if I, as an individual, look at what's going on here, and remember, we got to – more cold weather coming before we get out of this winter time. But one thing is, if you compare January to December, January of 2021 to December of 2020, we measure the coldness by heat degree days, it's called. Okay. And if you go back and look on factual information, those heat degree days have been more. So that's one reason that it's been colder weather. Second thing, I have three things here. Second thing would be, if it's a residential account, what's up? A lot of people, some people are working from home, so that makes typical sense, increase there at residential use. And the third thing is, and I'm not going to hide in the sand on this one, we had a rate increase last summer. Midsummer was approved by the Indiana Regulatory Commission, so that's part of it. So you put all three of these together, it can make an impact, but especially the cold weather. Yeah,
and we do like to be warm, you know.
Yeah, you know, and that's for sure. That's right.
Yeah, and now with that said, though, like you mentioned, because of the pandemic, people are staying home.
Yes.
And so folks are going to find that a lot of their utility bills at home have gone up because they're there. They're not at work. So staying warm at work, somebody else is paying the bill there.
That's right.
You actually flush the toilet more at work than you do at home when you're working at work. So their water bill is higher. That's gone up. But now your water bill has gone up. There's a lot of things that go into when you spend time at home.
Right, right. And you know, one thing I like to stress to people, okay, we got these challenges before us, but if people have heard of the Western Indiana Community Action Agency, that's a group that gets federal dollars, state dollars to help people on bills. And I would encourage them to contact because that's a great resource if you're eligible to meet these guidelines. They have money, and I just talked to them there last week. There's still money in their funds to help people. Here's a challenge like you and I've talked before, Frank. We don't want people to get shut off at Duke Energy. Then you have a deposit you have to pay. And I would encourage people to try to work with us first, look at our options we have to work with, and then go from there and work with the Community Action Agency too.
And the other thing that folks need to think about too is that you do have expenses as a business. And we can all sit here and debate about how much is enough profit, but you do have expenses. I mean, electricity, except for lightning during a storm, doesn't fly through the air for free. I mean, you guys, I mean, go through a list. I mean, what does it take to make juice?
You know, I call it behind the switch. You know, you have a generating station that uses coal. We use a lot of coal here in the Wabash Valley from our coal mines.
Yeah, natural gas, too, in some of the plants.
And natural gas.
I think Cayuga's using coal. Don't they use gas up there, too, or not?
Yeah, across from there, we have a peaking station. It's natural gas. But there at Cayuga is fully coal.
Okay.
You know, we just tore down, you know, Wabash Station that was built back in the 50s that you and I had people work there, you know.
Yeah.
Create a lot of good opportunities and jobs. So, you know, there's a lot behind the switch that goes on, you know, keeping lines up, poles. And we're going through, it's like the bridges and the roads in this country. built years ago, and our lines were built years ago, and we're trying, as you can see here in Brazil, how we're updating too a lot of facilities.
Mm-hmm. And then also too, you've got people that generate a good living by working for you, and they're the ones that go out during the thunderstorm in the middle of the night to keep your power hooked
up. Well, as you and I talk, you know, I've been with this company over 40 some years, and I got a great group of men and women that work hard to keep lights on in the Wabash Valley.
I wouldn't want to do their job.
I wouldn't either, and I really respect them as they respect me sitting in here doing a radio interview, seriously.
Yeah.
But we all have our – I've got the greatest team. I'm real proud of my team.
And when they go out, they stay out sometimes for hours on end just to keep the lights on.
People don't realize how much we put a lot of wear and tear on our employees to keep lights on, especially in storms. I think we really shine the light, that we do our best work. And getting people's power on. And then when you see a person come out and wave at your back door, that is so gratifying to feel that we got their lights back on.
And the other thing is that just because you have people here doesn't mean that this is here. Here is where they do all their work. Because I know over years past, we've done news stories on it before. You send them off to parts unknown when hurricanes hit in those areas. Just as those areas that are hit by hurricanes will sometimes send people here to help us through severe tornado damage when it happens.
That's a good point, because we got, you know, we serve in six states, North, South Carolina, Florida, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana. We can move our workforce around wherever we need. And you're right. They've come here before. We went there before. But it's an army of people when you need it. Yeah.
So anyway, as far as cutting your bill during the wintertime, anything to...
Well, okay, a couple things I want to mention. Remember the smart meters we put in a few years ago? These smart meters are really telling...
There's been a lot of
I know,
talk
but
about
listen
those.
To me. Now, just give me a minute here.
All right.
You know, people can get a text when your usage is high on your meter and your usage out there. I would encourage people to get out there and sign up for that. And that helps you to see if that starts spiking, and that maybe you can try to control the bill. Space heaters, safety. You're going to use them in a safe place. Don't throw them on the back porch, no windows, no insulation. You're going to see extremely high bills. We see that every year. So those are things. But on the other hand, for residential and commercial people, we have energy efficiency programs. I want to be sure people, you're paying for it in your rates already. Utilize those dollars, come back to you, and look at those incentives that we have out there. A lot of businesses here, sitting in Brazil, Terre Haute, Greencastle, have already used that. But I want to encourage people to get out there, look at these incentives that we give for energy-efficient lighting, motors, and things like that, Frank.
And when you talk about the energy efficiency, your job's to sell juice.
Yeah,
but
it is.
You also want to help folks not use as much.
You want, well, believe it or not, I see that as another fuel, energy efficiency. I remember Jim Rogers many years ago, one of our CEOs, saying this is a fuel for us. If we can have happier customers, but yet cut back and not have to build power generation, but yet it is a fuel if we can save on kilowatt hour use or use it more wisely, let's call it. Yeah.
Even though you're pushing energy efficiency and there's a lot of things, I mean, let's face it, LED bulbs and those kind of things nowadays. Okay, when you turn on the light and you light up the whole house, it's not nearly as expensive to do that as it once was. With that said, though, we're still probably using more juice than we ever have because we've got a lot more items that are using juice that we didn't used to have, charging cell phones and that kind of thing.
Good point. I mean, even when you go to bed at night, that TV is still using a little bit of juice and other things. You know that as better as anyone in all your technology.
They call them the vampire units.
There you go. Yeah. That's it. That's it, Frank. Yeah.
So how set are you guys to, I mean, let's, a lot of, there's a big talk now, you know, Teslas, electric cars, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't run for free. Yes, okay, they're green, but the juice still got to come from somewhere. How are you set to handle the increased demand as some of this switchover occurs?
Yeah, I think we're, Duke Energy is looking into the future too. We have to, because what's happening in, you know, you have a new administration here, it's going to lead the country, and they're more into renewable resources. So we're looking at solar farms, we're looking at wind turbines, cell development down at Crane and Bloomington. Duke Energy's out there. People just don't realize how we're way out there thinking on the items right now. So as things change, you know, nuclear power still is a good thing. We still have a lot of nuclear plants in the Carolinas. So we have to look at all renewable resources at this point in time.
Are you seeing more demand?
Parts of the country, parts of our enterprise system. We are, but I think you're going to start seeing more this year. I think last year changed the world for a lot of people, yeah. And it changed our world too. But I think you're going to see some things come back to normal, and that's some low growth in areas that we didn't see last year, hopefully.
Yeah, and you're set for that?
We are.
I guess what I'm getting at is how much excess capacity do you have compared to what you're really using? You know what I mean? Because let's face it, those power plants, none of them are running 100% 24/7.
And that's true, but you got to look at every day we have, like, I want to say energy brokers. They look at out there, can we buy cheaper offline than developing it ourselves? We may go offline to buy power to save for the consumer than develop it ourselves.
And how does that work? Because mm-hmm. It's not like you can see, okay, if you buy gas at one gas station and you sell it, I mean, you can see gas. Electricity, yeah. You can't see.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, is like you and I were talking before we started doing this here. When we start talking about what the rates are you charge,
yeah.
I can't hold a kilowatt hour in my hand.
Well, but you can see what it does
could,
for
but
you.
I could, okay. But it wouldn't happen for very long.
That's right.
I'd be flat on my back if I did that.
Yeah.
But it's like, when you talk about this kind of thing, though, you don't really touch electricity. You don't feel it. It's not a quantifiable item you can hold. You see what it does, but you can't hold it. So, you know.
Let's explain it as a stock market. We know that, like, a day before, who's going to have excess of power out there. So MISO, which we're under as far as a large regional state system for energy, we know what people's power costs are at that point in time before we actually need it. So we're going out there purchasing it. If it's more to generate and we can buy it lower over here, we're going to lock into a deal here for a short time to buy power.
And I would assume that people are going to say, well, that's fine. Then you just make more profit. But when you go for rate adjustments or rate increases and you stand in front of the Indiana Utility Regulatory
Commission, they got all the facts and figures of how we've operated, you know, showing how much we bought and all this, too.
Yeah, now we may agree or disagree with what they eventually find in the end, but they do look at what your profit margin is.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yes.
And so if you have a really good profit margin, it's a lot harder for you to justify a rate hike.
Well, it is. And I think that just proves what, you know, we just went through a rate increase there last year. You know, we asked and we got, you know, much less than what we wanted, but that's okay. We understand that. I mean, it's fair, I think, and we move forward. Yeah.
One of the things that you guys do, and folks, when they see your happy, smiling face, you specifically around the Wabash Valley, you're usually smiling, grinning, waving, and you've got a check in your hand.
Yeah, a lot of people
You guys
see that.
Do help out
we do.
A lot of areas, but a lot of folks would say, and I've told you this before, off air, say, well, cut my rate, and then we don't have to worry about that now, do we?
Yeah, so thanks for that intro. I like that, because whether you want to believe me or not, that is money, shareholder dollars that come from a different bucket. I mean, that's shareholders' money over there.
And you
so
realize
that's our foundation.
Most people are looking at it like I look at it. I don't care if it's shareholder
I get
or what.
It.
It's
I
all,
get
it's
it.
All dollars in the same bucket and has Duke Energy stamped on it.
Well, it's got Duke Energy stamped on it. But yes, we do give back, and that's Duke Energy shareholder dollars. And you're right. We give a lot back in the Wabash Valley.
How
we
shareholder really dollars different from the power plant?
Okay, so those are kind of owners, you know, as a shareholder in the business.
Of which
so
I can own stock in Duke like anybody else.
There you
can.
Go. You yeah. could, okay. as I do as an individual. So that's just people that's investing in the company that makes their profit. But before they make their profit, we'll take in, like here in Indiana, we give back $2.5 million is what we give back.
Okay.
And so that could have been more profit for them. But what they see, or we see as a company, it's good to do community things too. And it is. We want to do that.
One of the things that I know you do, and I know you're involved in it on some of these committees that you sit on around the area, and that is, okay, yes, of course, it means you get to sell more juice, but you're heavily involved in planning expansion and growth economically throughout the Wabash Valley and in the other markets that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very involved with what's happening in the Terre Haute Regional Airport, Steve Witz, the Terre Haute Economic Development Group, the redevelopment for the County Industrial Park. But we have a group of people that's our economic development staff too, and they're out there working with consultants trying to draw them in to build manufacturing facilities too.
Well, let's face it, any new business and economic growth in the area is going to need juice.
It sure is. We benefit from it. We do.
Look, the card games at the new casino, it gets built, probably not a lot of electricity involved there.
There's going to be electricity used there.
Well, not in the card games.
Yeah.
But in the lighting and in the slot machines, I mean, you guys are going to supply the power that keeps that particular operation up and going. So you're pretty much involved to make sure that you can supply what any new business needs, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, just use that as an example. On the east side of Terre Haute there, we've got to do some major work in our substation because 46, as you know, Frank, is starting to grow more and develop more. So we've got to make some improvements out there too in our substations and lines out there.
And that's part of the things that you guys, I mean, you're involved in that right from the beginning.
That's right.
Not just
that's
that, right. But anything that comes in the future too, right. You're part of it.
Yeah.
Because you got to make sure that you can supply. When people plug in, you got to make sure that you can get them what they need.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
There's a survey going on too, I know, about this side of the state. Are you guys involved much in that as far as the economic development survey?
Is that the wage?
And, yeah.
Yeah. So there's another thing too that was supported by our foundation. We gave $10,000 to Work One here. And they are doing a wage and benefit survey, which we haven't done one, we being the Wabash Valley, for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
People coming into a community, they want to see what your wages are. They want to see your benefits. So this is going to be a good gauge that we can use and share with really anyone out there, Frank. Yeah.
One other thing before I let you go, we ran out of time, and that is, like I said, we see you guys, you make donations to lots of community events.
Yes.
That's neat. I'm not trying to make your phone ring off the hook any more than it already does,
and it
does quite a bit. But how do you figure out what's out there and what you want to give to? I mean, how does that, obviously anybody's knocking on your door and calling you all the time, hey, give me money. But how do they present themselves to you, and how do you decide what will benefit from your largesse?
Good point. It's not easy to give money away.
Sure it is.
but you're right.
Especially when it's not yours.
Here's what I try to tell people. I try to diversify those dollars every year. Yeah. I don't want someone to continue to put that number in there for a budget line.
Yeah.
Because I get so many requests, and what I do throughout a year, if I don't fulfill these requests this year, they're my priority for next year.
And although you do, and I'll get in the middle of this and just say, although you do have a lot to say with what goes on here locally, because that's what you do, because you live here and you're part of the community,
you're not
the end. There's a lot of people that you have to answer to, and a lot of people that you have to get that money from, and they have to give their approval before you can go out and spend it. So there's more than just you involved in this.
Oh, definitely. Anything $10,000 or more, you know, goes to our regional council at the state level and our state president. But they listen to and intake my input of what I think that why it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But they take care of those. Anything $10,000 or below, I'm at a local level as a manager and work with the local organizations there. But it's tough giving money away because you have to say no. But I always ask people to always talk to me. Give me that opportunity, and let's see what we can do.
What's criteria?
Criteria, go out there and look at on our webpage, and it's got all the guidelines there. We have certain buckets. Buckets right now we just finished is K-12 for schools. Next one would be workforce development. Next one would be nature, which is path and things. Like over here, we gave to the park out here last year, and we gave to the veterans the flag memorial area. Right. So those are things we look for. We do.
And do you try to mix it up and spread it around differently from year to year? Because I know probably I would assume that you don't want to be the same 5, 6, 10 organizations every year after year after year after year.
That's right. Good point. I like I said, I like to diversify it, change it up. And I keep a list, believe it or not, what I think next year I should do. And by January and February, I've got a full year of already knowing what I want to do, and then I save a little money for the ones that come along to help. And we also want to help teams of the youth out there, sports and things too. We like getting our name out there and being proud of who we are with our teams and our youth.
Yeah, that's it. So it works. It's good for you guys. It's good for all of us.
Another good example, the big food drive you do here every year. Duke Energy's been there many years as a partner, and we're going to continue that. That's a good one, feeding the community.
All right. Well, and if folks basically head to your website if they're interested in getting something out there, calling it to your attention. I mean, you can't promise that they'll get anything, but you always
talk
will look
me.
At it.
Yeah, I will. I promise.
All right. I guess you're not such a bad guy after all.
Well, I I do love our communities. I do, and I appreciate the opportunity to come in here and chat with you, Frank.
Santa Rick Berger.
No, yeah.
From Duke Energy. All right. So, and as far as folks go for the winter heating bills, talk to you up front and make sure you say something before you get in too much trouble.
Yeah, and be sure they talk to that Action Community group too. They've got money to help. Thank
Rick Berger from Duke Energy. Appreciate you spending some time with us. If you missed any part of today's program and you'd like to hear it again or you need a repeat on anything, it's available for you right now on our website as a podcast. You can download it or stream it right there. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.